And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a new poem from a Milwaukee writer.
Finding forgiveness is deeply personal. Sometimes it's easy to forgive someone who's wronged you and move on. Other times, the road to forgiveness is long and bumpy. But what if forgiveness isn't an option? Writer Deshaun McKinney of Milwaukee is exploring this in his new collection of poetry, Father Forgive Me. He shares one poem from that book on forgiveness.
Somewhere you read forgiveness and dreamt about killing a man. You hear forgiveness unburdens and check that the knife is still by your pillow. Sometimes you feel sorry and remember your father's words, how you suck in your stomach in mirrorless rooms and take pride in no one believing you were ever that big in your resurrection. You tell yourself that you are a man now, but every night write a hymn for the boy who tried to scrub his stretch marks into oblivion. You think of what he would have been if worshipped, if celebrated instead of sacrifice. Wonder what to set upon an altar for sensitive black boys. Regret the threat of the knife, but polish the metal, reset it anyway, having learned young that sensitive black boys were fighters of the world's accord. Learned young that you would have to unlearn your tears, but learn how to store them for one day. You remind yourself that it's never too late to get an education. Hope one day is less tomorrows away when you awake. Next to the blade will be a letter addressed to black women, handwritten, for fixing you plates of collard greens and pig's feet as large as the table, calling you baby and weighing your report cards heavier than the digits on any bathroom, hallway, living room scale. You tell yourself you are a man now. That you say I love you to the homies without context and hope it sounds as soft as you believe love needs to be. On the most tender nights, you scroll through memories of smiles, hugs, travels, and sex to preempt the dreams. You wake to the stillness of 4 a.m., having read about forgiveness somewhere, and forgive yourself for having trouble finding it.
That's writer Deshaun McKinney reading his poem on forgiveness. He explains the inspiration behind that piece.
This poem was really coming from a space of just thinking about the idea of forgiveness. You know, so often when we experience some kind of hardship or trauma or betrayal or whatever it is, we're often told that forgiveness is the path to move forward. And like, it's almost as if that's what you have to do or you're supposed to do. And that's the only way to heal from something. I think of it as an interesting idea of, well, it's never that simple. And I think we so often force people into it that idea of me having to forgive can also be harmful in some ways. And I'm of the mind that that's not necessarily the only way to move forward. So for me, when I was writing this poem, I really wanted to just kind of grapple with the complexity. What does it look like when you hear these things, I should forgive, or I read about forgiveness as the poem says, and I'm actually having trouble getting to that point of forgiveness? And just kind of what does that look like?
McKinney's poem is part of a greater collection of his work called Father Forgive Me.
The book is called Father Forgive Me, and it's really a book that grapples with and nuances generational traumas. And it's really figuring out how does it affect you? How does it follow you through your life? I wanted to present different time periods and different scenarios of how it impacts you, and then wants to grapple with that idea of forgiveness, and which really pairs down to what do you do with these experiences and this trauma, and how do you move forward? And so it's, these poems all have that through line of that journey of you experience this thing that is very impactful on your life, and you're carrying this weight, and then how do you move through the world, and where do you go next? And really about how do you live with things that have been imposed upon you. I think that's kind of what I hope to get across with this book.
Writer Deshaun McKinney is from Milwaukee. He recently released a new collection of poetry called Father Forgive Me through Black Sunflowers Poetry Press. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And now they're marching 9 days, more than 90 miles from Milwaukee to Madison, drawing attention to immigration reform and pressuring Democrats in Congress to include a pathway to citizenship for millions of immigrants in our country. Do you depend on migrant workers? What does immigration reform mean to you? It's 800-642-1234. Hiram Rabadan Torres is marching. Hiram owns an auto repair shop and is president of Latinos Unidos of Fond du Lac. Hiram, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Good morning. We also have Christine Newman Ortiz, executive director of the immigrant rights organization Voces de la Frontera. Christine, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
So where, Christine, are you on this journey to Madison?
We're right now in Jefferson County. Today is day six, and we're very excited because today Governor Evers is going to be joining our delegation of immigrant essential workers, family members, and supporters as we leave on this day six towards Madison, and in support of the call for Biden to include citizenship for 11 million in the economic jobs bill that is being negotiated in Congress right now.
Hiram, what does this march mean to you?
You know what? It means a lot in my personal case as an Hispanic immigrant, as a business owner, as an essential worker. It means a lot. My main goal it is at this point to bring awareness to the rest of the community. Many people know the reason why we are marching. But at this point, I will be glad to let people who don't know the reason to let them know, to bring awareness the reason, like I said, why we are marching. But it means a lot. I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it for myself, of course. But I'm doing it for the rest of the other essential workers and the rest of the 11 million plus. You know, it is a very, very important thing. And very supportive. We have been having, you know, the youngest person in our this delegation is 7 years old, and the oldest is 71 years old, and a bunch of some other people in between. But it means a lot. And like I say, my main goal is to bring awareness to the rest of the people who don't really know our story or why we are here and why we're doing it.
Hiram, can you share your personal story of immigrating to America?
Well, in my personal case, we supposed to be here just for a certain period of time. We came with a tourist visa. That means I did came legally. After seeing that a better future in this beautiful country, we overstay our visa, but not because we want to break the rules or do something wrong or, you know, since day one after I overstay my visa, I've been trying to assist my community, which is in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I've been in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin since pretty much day one, 20 years ago. Like I said, trying to justify myself a little, you know, overstaying my visa. But at the same time, the reason why I'm a Mexican immigrant and I'm a proud Mexican immigrant, but the main reason was seeking a better future for my family. And that was one of the main reasons why we immigrate. I met my wife in college in Mexico, and we were struggling a little. The economy is not the same, of course. And we saw a brighter future in this country, and we overstayed. But at the same time, and I do apologize if I repeat a lot of things, but
no, don't apologize.
I've been trying to justify, like I say, my overstaying. And now that I joined this beautiful organization, Voces de la Frontera, it has been, my arms have been reaching a little farther. And it's not just Voces. In my personal case, in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, I do belong to another nonprofit organizations. It is Ebony Vision is a nonprofit. United for Diversity is another profit. United Way is another nonprofit. I'm a Fond du Lac Money Rotary member. And like I said, what it moves myself, what we give the motivation to keep, it is just helping people. You know, I do fix cars for a living, but other than that, if somebody's in a really need, I love to assist the person regardless of the economy.
You are deeply involved in your community, deeply involved in the Fond du Lac community, as we can certainly hear. Yeah. Christine, what does comprehensive immigration reform, including a path to citizenship, what does that look like to you? What does it entail?
It's citizenship for all, which is like the kind of broad demand out there. It means to try to ensure that the 11 million so that everyone is included, especially during this pandemic. It's just highlighted how immigrant workers are essential workers. They have been at the front lines and obviously at a higher levels of risk for themselves or families or communities. And we've seen that some other people are also marching with us are, you know, like their parents work in the meatpacking industry and those, you know, other essential jobs. And for us, it means we leave no one behind, you know, that we include not just those immigrant workers, but we include their families, you know, their children. We have had a dysfunctional immigration system for way too long. And so you have families growing up. I mean, most of you just heard Iram, 20 years here. You know, he has grandchildren. Guadalupe, the oldest member of our group, 71 years old. You know, she's still working today in fast food, and she has grandchildren here. So these are people deeply, you know, in the fabric of our communities, and every day with that fear that it could all fall apart, you know, in a really awful way. So immigration reform means we leave nobody behind, and that it's simple, and that it's affordable, because that's a big barrier, even under DACA. People struggled. We created VOSES and other organizations around the country, created scholarship funds, because even that, you know, around $500 fee, plus if you need an attorney, you know, it gets expensive for low-income families. So it has to be affordable. It has to be simple. It has to be inclusive. So, you know, LGBTQ families, for instance, have always been, like, included within that. We want TPS included. We want Dreamers included. Dreamers represent 1 million of essential workers and TPS holders. Many of them are frontline healthcare workers, education workers, but they're all also living in this very tenuous status.
We're talking with Christine Newman Ortiz, Executive Director of Voces de la Frontera, Hiram Rabadan Torres of Fond du Lac, marching to Madison for action on immigration reform. What is your story of coming to America? Has a family member been deported in recent months? What would you like to share about your views on immigration reform and what action you want to see from the Biden administration? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Marchers walking from Milwaukee to Madison this week to draw attention to immigration reform. Pressure from immigrant rights groups in our state to get congressional Democrats to advance legislation that would include a pathway to citizenship for certain immigrants. What do you want to say about a pathway for undocumented workers, for DACA recipients, for people who have temporary protected status? 800-642-1234. Christine Newman Ortiz leads Voces de la Frontera. Hiram Rabadan Torres is a president of Latinos Unidos of Fond du Lac, and they stay with us. Carol now in Madison. Hi, Carol. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. So my name is Carol. I actually am first-generation American. My parents were born and raised in Argentina, and I was born here in Wisconsin. And I currently work for La Casa de Esperanza, which is actually a nonprofit in Waukesha. and we work with low-income and Latino-based communities. And, you know, half of my family is DACA. The other half is trying to get their papers. And the reality is, you know, it plays a hardship on one's psyche where you almost feel like it's unfair that you could be stripped from your family any day at any moment. And the reality is, you know, I've seen it because I work in a nonprofit with a Latino-based community. I've actually seen people be deported and their family come to us for help with lawyers or with anything like that. And you were just mentioning, you know, the cost. And the reality is a lot of people can barely pay for food, especially with the COVID incidents.
Mm.
And nowadays, you know, it's very hard for people to be able to afford just being able to stay in the state.
Carol, thank you so much for those insights with La Casa de Esperanza based in Waukesha. Hiram, I'm wondering what organization really helped you get on your feet when you came to Fond du Lac?
What organization when I first came to Fond du Lac? When I first came to Fond du Lac, pretty much, I'm not saying that I was by myself, of course not, but it was up to probably recently, like I said, when I start being more involved in these other nonprofits, and of course, joining voices on the past march, you know, in Milwaukee, in Madison, and that type of, it creates a bigger motivation for me to join Voices de la Frontera directly, to be more involved. But that has been probably in the probably last couple of years. And yeah, like I said, I mean, the way I see things, trying to assist people, you know, as far as I can, again, I don't know if I said this before, but it allows me to reach farther, joining an organization, networking with some other nonprofits. I noticed that. And I noticed that is joining a group of volunteers and again on the other different organizations in that room when we meet. I know that every single person in that room has the same goal, to help others, you know, regardless of your status, regardless of your skin color, we are there to help. And I know that Voices is also doing
And Christine, you know, what are your thoughts there on Carol's story and living in that life of uncertainty and that fear of deportation and then for Carol to see it happen?
And thank you, Carol, for sharing that, for taking the time to call and sharing that. And because it is true that it's not just the papers, but it's the anxiety and the stress, the constant stress and the constant fear that at any moment the shoe could drop and everything you've built up can be taken away. And 287G is still in existence. Like in Waukesha, we were able to beat it back in Milwaukee County. But it was from the previous administration, you know, this whole effort to deport 11 million people, like coercing local government and local law enforcement to be a part of that. And there was a real resistance against that and ultimately a rejection of that. And so really now where we are is the expectation of the Biden administration to fulfill that promise. And so to me, I think, this last four years has been, you know, really hard and that we have seen, you know, the harm. I mean, every day, I mean, it's just constant and people deserve it. These two big budget bills, the first one around COVID and this one on jobs, are a response to the pandemic. And immigrant workers and their families, you know, this is the best way we can honor them. And we should honor them as part of this whole response to the economic crisis of the pandemic. They have not had the visibility, the voice that they deserve. And it is it's a very psychologically, emotionally harmful thing. And the little children, the littlest of children, as we mentioned, the youngest here is 7, they know. I remember years ago, we went with a delegation to visit our representatives, including Ron Johnson, with a children's delegation of kids who had you know, witnessed family members being deported in their home, because it mostly happens in people's homes, and, you know, or who had are living under that constant threat.
Yeah.
And those kids know. They know. And it's scary. And they, you know, they have friends who have ended up in foster care because their parents have been deported. So it's a very unhealthy, cruel thing that's happening, that's being kind of systematically inflicted on children. Parents cannot, because of the lack of a driver's license and the threat of, you know, ending up in deportation because they're driving, and that could lead to, you know, being kind of identified. And it means, you know, parents aren't fully a part of, like, a full life of being able to go to the park with your kids and play, take a vacation with your family. I mean, right now, obviously, people are just surviving. But, you know, those are the things that that we need to fight for: healthy communities, healthy families, and citizenship is, you know, fundamentally about just, you know, giving people that peace and that comfort. And that's a good thing for all communities.
Hiram, we only have a few seconds left, but I'm wondering, where do you find hope in all of this? Where do you find your determination?
Well, at this very point, what I see is a light at the very end of the tunnel. You know, we know that at the Senate, and they're talking about it. They're talking about giving a path to citizenship. They are talking about it. But we know that also we are running out of time. That's why the goal of this delegation marching from Milwaukee to Madison, it is just to add a little big or a lot of pressure. We are just marching. We are not really connected with what is happening out of, you know, of course, through the media and all that stuff we notice.
Yeah.
And we hope to make some noise, you know, for people to join us.
Thank you both for joining us. Hiram Rabadan Torres, owner of Hiram's Auto Repair, president of Latinos Unidos of Fond du Lac, and Christine Newman Ortiz, who leads Voces de la Frontera. You're listening to the Ideas Network.